of what is there now and have input as to how that can be adapted for any future use? And if not, then how do you deal with the monumental issues of compensation for adjustments in that? And as I have understanding, the makeup of the commission is looking more for academics and scientific types and not necessary an inclusion of those parties that would be that would be so affected. And that's part of the problem, I think, in the design of the commission. If we don't have that inclusion, then we're going to have a proposal that comes through without any public input that we are going to be looking at either yes or no, as so often we have with respect to issues relating to CalFed that have come post-budget during the revise and not during the discussion, not being introduced as part of the budgetary process to be having a full vetting in the ensuing months before the May revise. Thank you.
If the director would then, in terms of the information that we requested about the panel that's going to guide this process, incorporate those issues in responding to the legislature.
I will do that.
Conservation plan development. Conservation plans have a lot of potential for restoring endangered species and actually helping to protect species that are not yet on the endangered list and keeping them off. We've been encouraging conservation planning efforts statewide, especially where there might be some rapid growth that would result in the destruction of habitat. I think you have a lot of work ahead of you given the sheer size of the area and the increasing complexity of developing a plan for an aquatic ecosystem. So the one question we have in this area is what is the timeline for activities that have to occur even before you start the conservation planning process?
I'll go ahead. The key thing is the development of a planning agreement that I think has to be in place by next year. Our goal will be to have it in place this year. Then the expectation is the process itself will take, I'll say, 3 to 5 years. I think we initially thought it would take longer. We have been using Karen Scarborough, who is the Undersecretary at Resources Agency, because of her expertise in the area. She believes that we can do it sooner than we had and faster than we'd originally thought because we have so much information that's been gathered over the last few years as part of the CalFed process. So the expectation is that within a year or about a year, certainly by the end of 2007, we have to have a planning agreement in place, and then it will probably take 3 to 5 years to actually do the HCP. We would expect the planning agreement would include interim funding to help continue the ecosystem restoration while we're in the planning process.
Well, the request from the committee on page 41 is to develop and share a timeline of the actions that you're going to take before the conservation plan is even able to be developed. We want to see
right.
the initial plan and what that timeline is from your point of view. Because you said maybe a year, and then you said maybe the end of 2007, which is more than a year.
Well,
so
the end of 2007 is the absolute deadline.
Right.
Our goal would actually be much sooner.
Well, we'd like to see your timeline for the, those
Agreed.
Initial steps. The South Delta Improvements Program. I think the installation of permanent operable barriers holds some promise for improving operations in the Delta, but I'm really concerned about the lack of financial commitment from the water contractors for a facility that might provide benefits. Improved operations of the Delta systems do have the potential to improve water quality and protect fisheries and reduce the chances the pumps might be shut down because of endangered species issues. I also know that the Department of Water Resources has been pretty adamant that it's not moving to increase pumping in the South Delta with the construction of the barriers, with which I very strongly agree. We should not be increasing pumping from the Delta at this point when the Delta smelt are crashing. There's a lot of things that need to happen, in my opinion, in the Delta to improve the ecosystem before taking more water out of the system should be considered. We have a recommendation from the staff to request a little more information about this on page 42, to get some additional information from DWR on the benefits, as they see them, of constructing permanent operable barriers.
If I may add a few points. One is, as we look at costs, we need to look at not only construction costs, but operation and maintenance costs. Right now, our temporary barrier program, while it's about $6 million a year, about $3 million of that is for actual rock, putting the barriers in place. The other $3.5 million a year is related to studies and other activities that are needed to operate and maintain those areas. We suspect that those operation and maintenance costs will continue with the permanent operable gates. So we're looking at an ongoing O&M cost that our current plan is the State Water Project would pick up those O&M costs of about, well, potentially up around $3.5 to $4 million a year. If you lay that out over the 30-year life of a program, we're talking $120 million. So that goes beyond the cost of the construction costs. Now, we think the $3 million construction piece, that you don't have to build temporary barriers each year, will be a benefit. Mm-hmm. But there are substantial costs that we envision the State Water Project will have to incur here as we do the operation and maintenance of these gates.
Senator Machado, did you want to comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It goes back again to the financing. Much of this proposal is like the financing plan that we had requested from CalFed in the past, and it seems to be lofty in goals but elusive in actuality. I am concerned that we would be proceeding on this project with limited funds, with a cost that's $110 million, and that we end up doing partial and not completing. What happens if you're only able to affect the barriers on one area of the delta and not the others? I would think that in this project that the department would be able to provide to a demonstration of how they're going to get the funding to be able to complete the project. I'm finding the same thing in my subcommittee with respect to capital improvements that are being proposed there, and it's fine to say we'll look at it within the context of our budget year, but we're acting to make an obligation over multiple years, and I would think that the party should have an idea of how they intend to fund that, even if the category is hopefully for another bond. But I think the reference to the governor's strategic growth plan is also, unless they know something that we don't know, doesn't seem to be before the legislature this year. And without that, I think it's going to be difficult to make the type of decision necessary to see the project like this magnitude through completion.
Madam Chair, if I may, the wisdom of the legislature in helping pass both Prop 13 and Prop 50 provide sufficient funding to fund the SDIP program. There's money in both propositions specifically for this purpose that we plan to use for this activity.
Well, I think our purpose in asking for an identification of the benefits is a way for, because we're not getting real strong information about funding. So it's a way for us to try to clarify what we might think would be an appropriate way to fund this. And I think we'll have that conversation across our subcommittees and, you know, try to get from that information. If we have to be the ones to propose it, then we'll try to work it out. I think that's it for CalFed. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Thank you all. We have one last item to consider, and that's the Delta Protection Commission. It's really a recommendation to approve the budget, but we have a question to the department about this Delta visioning process. So welcome. We want to know if you know, what's your role going to be in it?
Good morning, Chair Kuhl, members of the committee, Linda Fayak, Executive Director of the Delta Protection Commission. Thus far, the Delta Protection Commission has immersed itself into the Delta Visioning process, and we actually have brought about the recognition of the need to not only consider those types of perspectives and projects that are brought about through the CalFed implementing agencies, but that you also have to consider all of the other visioning processes that are going on, not only just State Parks vision, for example, Central Valley Vision, but more importantly, the visions like the general plan updates. All five Delta counties are going through general plan updates. There's a SACOG blueprint process that's underway. All of the Council of Governments have efforts underway, and so through those types of efforts, we need to make sure that we have those perspectives. The commission, just by the very makeup, we have members of the three COGs. We have members from the five Delta County Board of Supervisors. We have landowner perspective that's brought about through the REC districts. And then, of course, we have six state agencies, one of which, the majority of which are under resources, but one is also food and ag. And so we have been involved in the process. We're staying abreast of it. We think we need to be an integral part of that process. Which I could share a little bit, if you'd like, about our transition that's going on
sure,
right now.
Sure, please.
Okay. It's great to have this opportunity because over the last year, the Delta Protection Commission has been undergoing a significant transition. We listened very loud and clear last year to the input that was provided during 2003 and 2004 by the legislature and others. And so what has come about as of a year ago was a new chair, new executive director, and eight new members on the commission. The thought being that the commission wants to be much more proactively involved in bringing about Delta-wide strategic planning and actually activities and on-the-ground projects, not perceived merely as a tracking and monitoring entity. We still need to be very involved in these plans, but what we see is becoming integrated in the local planning processes and not being an after-fact thought. And as a part of that, we started a strategic planning process last November. We're hoping that it's going to be adopted in May. The handout shows what the outcome is, and we basically explored several scenarios, but have come up with the thought that there's probably a lot of untapped things we can do under the existing act and the existing management plan that we just haven't pursued. We're also looking at budgetary ways to be much more creative and self-sustaining. So part of this has been through the Delta Visioning, and our work plan, it's a five-year business plan that will be adopted in May 25th. And it lays out for the first year some specific projects that we're going to do to implement the management plan, but it also discusses the administrative aspects as well. Every year, we will review that and take on new tasks for the coming year, and so we see us being much more proactively involved in Delta-wide issues, including the Delta Vision process.
All right. Any questions from members? Mm-mm. The motion is to approve the budget, and that is adopted unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
That concludes our hearing today. We will have next Monday, May 8th at 11 a.m. So thank everyone, and we are adjourned.